Many of you probably know this story, or a similar story, of a boy who perhaps was orphaned by his family. There are many versions of this. But who was raised in the Jewish community, by the Jewish community, because he comes to learn that even though he was once orphaned by Jews, he was raised outside, and when he comes back to the Jewish community, that it turns out this whole time he was Jewish. And the way that he engages with the community is to go to cheder. And he's older, he's an older boy, and he didn't know much Hebrew, and so while he's in cheder in school, he learns the alphabet, and it's all he knows of Judaism and of Jewish life, now that he's discovered his roots. Well, a few weeks after he starts at cheder, he finds it's the high holidays as they approach here, and he goes to services, but he doesn't know the words to the prayers. He doesn't know how to use the prayer book. And so he, while everyone is singing exuberantly and he's caught up in the moment, at the top of his lungs begins to recite the letters of the alphabet, and people turn shocked and outraged that this young boy is sort of singing loudly the prayers of the alphabet, until the rabbi stops the community and reminds them that even though this boy might not yet know the prayers, who are we to assume that we know exactly what it is that God wants to hear? Why do we assume that the prayers we offer are the right prayers for God, and this boy's singing of the alphabet is not right? And the rabbi says to the group, perhaps God will just take all the letters that this young boy is reciting and God will put them all in the right order. When we think about how we pray, how we engage in synagogue things, we often worry about not doing it right. And it's really no great surprise. We pray a lot in a language we don't know. For most of us, it is not our own. We move and we stand and we sit and we bow. There are objects we're supposed to touch or not to touch in certain times that we do things, symbols and internal coded messages. It's sacred theater is what worship is. And ritual, the rituals we go through are indeed highly scripted. If you think about your Seder table or even the High Holy Days, there are certain times and moments for things. It's all quite scripted. And we don't want to get it wrong. Just like in the theater, nobody wants to drop a line, right? No one wants to miss their cue or come in too early or make a wrong entrance. The challenge is while much of worship is designed to move us like drama, we have forgotten sometimes that we should focus on doing it well, not necessarily on doing it right. Rabbi Larry Hoffman, the preeminent scholar on liturgy and the history of worship, as well as contemporary worship, teaches this. Rightness is a function of following the rules, responding to external standards of liturgical form and content and all the technicalities associated with them. Wellness focuses on the worshipers. While rules remain relevant, they become secondary to the experience of the worship, which the rules, frankly, might help or impede. Historically, everybody got it wrong, because there was no right. Local customs determined ritual and prayer. And each time somebody led a new service, they got to pick the way it was done. They got to pick the way it was led. Nobody did it right. Everyone did it well. But then we had technology and the printing press, and things got codified. Plus the need for authoritarian control, there was a sense that prayer had to go one way in order for us all to stay together. And if we didn't do it that way, it was wrong. And the wrongness became infused with theology. Somehow the rightness was what God wanted. And what makes us authentic was a standard that we couldn't even identify. The challenge for us in our day when we think about doing it right or doing it well is that in our world, we want authenticity. We want an autonomous self in search of self-realization or self-actualization. But how does our worship match that? If we all want to do it our way, how then can we pray? This doesn't mean that we each should come and do what we like, just have mayhem. Maybe some of us will see a chandelier in the middle of the room and it's chaos. But we do have opportunities to do it the way we like. That's our private time, perhaps, meditation, reciting the Shema at night or in the morning, body work we do, gratitude prayers we might engage in on our own, even gathering at home to light Shabbat candles or for a holiday. We have opportunities to do it our way. But when we're in a community, we do have to share a common thread and a common experience. As I say to the choir when we start a piece that we're reviewing, worst case, I'll just meet you at the end. Because there's something nice to the fact that we'll start together and we'll end together, but maybe a lot of what happens in the middle isn't exactly together. And there's freedom in that. We will all be okay. Each of us might deviate a bit, or we'll all deviate, but somehow we're all in it together. I'm sure the rabbis and I can each tell multiple stories where something went wrong. In my congregation, Temple Emmanuel, in Kensington, Maryland, I served for a long time, the roof, the way the roof is built, it's wood. If it rains even more than a little hard, it's so loud, nothing can be heard. So sometimes, literally, services would be drowned out with sound. And we would end early, or we would skip, or we would shift what we had to do because nobody could hear. Or perhaps someone has had a heart event and we had to stop to take care of them. Or the sound went out. Or last year at the High Holidays, there was a high-pitched squeal, which will not happen again this year. So perhaps we moved on, or we skipped a prayer to make sure that everyone could leave safely before a storm was coming, to close the doors against a terrible storm. And our prayer books have always changed. We'll talk about that some weeks down the line. Sometimes things were cut, but unfortunately, mostly things got added. We highlighted sacred moments, but we were not so good at editing. And we can't really do it well if we include all of the prayers, all of the historical moments, because it's our habit or because some code tells us to. We do have to believe in some framework, of course. There has to be rules and a form that identifies us as Jews, but perhaps we can avoid being slave to it, being slave to doing it the right way, and we can consider what doing it well might look like. The ultimate question for us is, whom should we trust? The mantle of history and tradition and the past, which, though positive, is group prejudice, or our own reasoned imagination and uncharted territory for the future? Perhaps a service of only chanting Shema for 55 minutes. A prayer moment around gratitude. A service where certain melodies, though comforting and familiar, aren't sung at all, in service of another melody because that is what's best for the group at a given moment, as a way to welcome people who are not from our community. An experience where something is forgotten or skipped because worship leaders are fallible, or they sense there's something different needed for the group. It might be disappointing for us. It's not wrong. Some synagogues sit for Shema. Some synagogues face the Ark for Baruch Hu. Others chant Ve'ahavta and Avot, or use screens and no prayer books at all. Some clergy I know lead from an iPad. Some sing lots of the opening liturgy and skip most of the middle liturgy. Some don't do Misha Berach, some read Torah on Friday nights. I work a lot with our smaller congregations who say, but many weeks we don't have a minyan. Can we do Baruch Hu or Kaddish? I say, don't ask me, because I'll say do it well and don't do it right. People came in very small towns to be with six other Jews to say Kaddish. That's doing it well, because the community needs Kaddish. And I think many times, well should be the lead before right. And also, I'm not going to say, even as the director of worship, I can't define what it is to do it well. Who's to say what that looks like? But that's the great joy and the fun of thinking about worship and prayer. How do we do it well? I don't know. Who are we as a community? Who are our visitors? What is the story we want to tell about who we are as a sacred community of unique and diverse individuals, but throwing our lot into this messy collective together? Are we about song and dance? Are we about diversity? Are we about deep study and learning? Are we about individual relationships more than divinity? None of these questions are either or, nor are they forever. But each time we come to pray, we plan to pray together. Perhaps we can ask this question. Would we rather do it right? I know that I would prefer to do it well. Shabbat shalom.